This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We have our next guest in the studio.
We do.
I'm going to pronounce her name real fancy like.
Go for it.
Yeah, Simone Liamont.
Well done.
She said it was bastard French, which I adore. Welcome to the show, Simone.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Simone is a curator at the NGV, and we're going to talk all things NGV.
Yep. But give us your background, as we always like.
How long have we got, David? How long have we got? What version do you want, the long or the short version? Okay, so short version. So born and raised in Melbourne.
So the surname?
Yeah, Liamont.
Yeah.
Well, it is bastard French. My parents go by the name of Limon, but my brother and I were so taken with the history or the family heritage and what the name was like when our sort of ancestors arrived in Australia.
And were
they
French?
Took it back to the original. They were.
Right. So, not many French people, if it was your grandparents.
Well, no, it goes back much further, right. I'm afraid. It was just prior to the French Revolution.
Ooh.
So they fled France.
Okay.
So we romanticise that perhaps we're of blue blood and we escaped Madame Guillotine. This is all, of course, speculation. And apparently Georges Henry the second fled to London, gambled and spent all of his money on prostitutes and fine wine, and then his son decided to get on a boat and come to Australia.
Okay.
And they grew grapes and citrus and settled in the Mildura area.
Right.
And they became lemonade bottlers. And so my brother and I, upon discovery of this information, we thought, well, we should take our name back to the original construction, because we were charting a career of fame and fortune and we thought Liamont was far more attractive or interesting than Limon.
Mm. So you've given yourself a stage name.
Yeah, I did.
I love it.
And I was named after Simone de Beauvoir. So I think the Simone Liamont, yes. Mm. It is a bit of a mouthful, though. And I often know when I meet people and they say, "Hi, Simone," at what point in my life I've met them, because I'm either Simone or Simone. Anyway, but it's my name. That's my name.
So you started off as an artist?
I did. Yeah. I did, yes.
So why did you want to be an artist?
Well, I guess I thought the only thing I could do, or the only thing I was good at, was essentially being creative. And my father was an architect. My mother, when I was young, painted all the time. I wanted to be a fashion designer, and I had a holly hobby sewing machine that I used to drive like a high-performance vehicle. And I used to make all of my clothing. And I guess I always wanted to be in charge of my own, I guess, future. And I thought being a creative was what I wanted to do. And it formalised as an artist, as a visual artist. So I went to the VCA and I did sculpture, because Picasso was a sculptor.
Oh.
And sculptors can do everything and anything. So I did sculpture. And then for about 10 years, charted a career as a visual artist and did everything I was supposed to do. Had shows in all the right artist-run spaces, studios in all the right places. But I guess at heart, I was a designer. And so then I finally decided to do industrial design up at RMIT, and then for many years tried to carve out a career as a designer between Milan and Melbourne. And, they were in the days, you know, sort of before you had a folio on a CD or on a USB stick, and I'd literally walk around with a big, you know, sort of A2 folio under my arm, knocking on doors to all the illustrious manufacturers across Europe. And I guess I wanted to be the female Mark Noosan. And I did that for many, many years before coming back to Melbourne, just prior to the GFC, when Europe was just collapsing financially. And it was at that point when I met the magnificent Tony Elwood, the director of the NGV. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, you know, we have these plans of doing a big show that's going to celebrate creativity or cultural practice in Melbourne across all forms. And would you be interested in curating the design component? And so, of course, I just threw myself into it. And now I'm permanently at the gallery, throwing myself into it every day.
So what was the show?
It was Melbourne Now.
Okay.
You know, that watershed moment, the NGV.
And, you know, like for his insight, you know, we had him on just before Christmas.
We had him
Christmas.
On for an hour. What an incredible man.
And so humble with it as well. But, you know, like what a visionary. Yeah. And the fact is he hadn't been at the NGV all that long, and all of a sudden then Melbourne Now came along and just blew the socks off of everyone, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Tony had been the deputy director many, many years prior. Yeah. And I don't know how much of his history he shared with you, but, you know, and even prior to that, he'd been at the NGV. So I guess he had a really good tacit understanding of how the NGV could be transformed. And I guess embracing contemporary production was something that the NGV wasn't doing quite nearly it is now. And so he really came in with a vision about, well, let's engage with the contemporary creative community across all forms, really with arms wide open. This is a home for all of your creativity. And Melbourne Now was that opportunity to really bring on board the community and to present back to the city of Melbourne, but also national audiences, just the depth and breadth of what it is that we do. And I think the real revelation was the design and architecture community. I mean, part of the reasons why I left Melbourne for Milan was because I felt that I just wouldn't get ahead here, that there wasn't great opportunity, even though Melbourne's always been a design city. And my mentors who have carved out renowned careers in design and architecture who here in Melbourne, they were very encouraging of me going overseas, because I guess it wasn't until I returned that I realised just how incredibly special Melbourne is. Mm. We're very remote, a long way from Europe and North America, and yet what we produce here is absolutely astonishing. And of course, the conversation has just pivoted, you know, 180, where we're talking about design as cultural production and how it enhances and transforms, you know, the environment and, you know, the way we live. And they were conversations that I guess 15 years ago was simply not as common or as prevalent.
So tell us some of the things that you're, because there's about three things right now that's on that you've been involved in. What are they?
Yeah. Well, on at the moment is the Rig Design Prize. So that's
Now what is that?
So the Rig Design Prize is, it's a little bit like the prize, it's a bit like the Olympics of Design. It comes around every 3 years at the NGV. It's been running for about 24 years. And Rig refers to a gentleman called Colin Rig, who was on the Board of Trustees of the NGV. And upon his death, he bequeathed quite an amount of money to the NGV to be put in trust and to deliver money every 3 years where a prize of some great significance could gather the very best design talent of the day in this place.
And what sort of design are we talking about?
Well, I guess in the past it was principally object design and furniture. The Design and Architecture Department, we were formed in 2015, and that really gave us an opportunity to, I guess, give it a facelift. And we always thought we had a bit of a sleeping dragon on our hands, that it could be what the Archibald is for portraiture painting, that the Rig could be of equal stature for design. So in 2015, we took the prize from being Victorian to national, and we looked at furniture and object, but for 2018 we looked at interior design and decoration. So we have 10 extraordinary interior design studios from around the country who've designed a 40 square metre interior. And they're all rooms that respond to the theme of domestic living. So you have very conceptual interpretations, if you like, where the interior is about trying to communicate an idea about domestic living. But then you have spaces that you think, oh, I could just move right in now and replicate that at home. And wouldn't that be amazing to live in?
Mm. And so, who won it?
Hecker Guthrie. So Hecker Guthrie is a Melbourne-based interior architecture and design firm. They're a renowned firm. Both Hamish and Paul have been practicing for a good couple of decades. And their scheme is probably the most conceptual. And what they've done is they've taken the symbol of the table and used it as a metaphor, and they've put it through, an exercise where it gets larger, it gets smaller, it gets flipped on its side, it gets turned upside down, and you have this volume where everything from tables, from seating, from a kitchen sink to a wardrobe is all composed from this basic principle of the table. And by going through that exercise, they've discovered that they're referencing different cultures around the world because tables are at different heights in different cultures. Yep. They're also referencing different times, different sort of, periods in history where also seat heights changed. Mm-hmm. Because the history of design, if we look at objects and environments, always reflect the attitudes and the social mores of the day. Mm. And so it's a really sophisticated composition, probably the most challenging for the public because they look at it and they go, well, how would you live in that?
Yeah.
But coincidentally, it really offers a great deal of conversation around, we're designing or delivering more and more tighter, smaller spaces, certainly in the CBD when you look at all of these vast towers going up and the apartment living. So I think if we think about the discipline of interior design, it's certainly a big issue at the moment about how we deal with small space and how we conceive of these living spaces and, you know, what things should we be exploring or looking at.
And that's on now.
So that's on now, and it closes on the 24th of February. Right. It's
and
free.
It's where is it?
It's on the top floor of the Ian Potter Centre at NGV Australia.
Yep.
So
brilliant.
That's located at Federation Square. Yep. And so it is free, yep. And it's on until the 24th.
Good. And what else?
So across the road at NGV International, on the top floor, we have Designing Women. And it's been a real passion project of mine. Part of what we do in the Department of Design and Architecture is we pursue a very active program of collecting contemporary design. So this is principally design that at the moment for us was authored and delivered between 1980 and the present. And when I started working at the NGV, one of the first things I had to do was get to know the design collection. But design had been collected through the Decorative Arts Collection, and it did really stop around 1980, and there wasn't a great deal of it. But what I did notice was there was a great lack of design by females. And so over the last years, we've been, collecting a great deal of design by international and Australian female designers. And it's starting to set up a really interesting story. So this is an opportunity where we've presented it all. So we have nearly 80 works.
Oh, wow.
By 50 designers, yeah. And we've sort of presented it in a way where we've unpacked some key ideas that might sort of allude to the forces which sort of concealed women's participation, but also more recently have revealed their presence. And so we look at themes of teamwork and collaboration, leadership, design research, and also design and makeup production, where so many women have been involved in that tacit, that kind of, you know, area of practice where you design and make what you deliver.
Yep. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's one other that you're involved in?
Oh, yes. So Broached Commissions is back at is also at the Ian Potter Centre at NGV Australia, and that is looking at the Australian design studio Broached Commissions that over the last decade have been commissioning Australian designers principally to respond to moments in Australian history to deliver extraordinary object and furniture design. And that's a survey show, and that's at the NGV Design Studio on the ground floor at Ian Potter.
Wow, and you're a busy girl.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're working on something that you're not allowed to tell us.
No, oh goodness, no. Well, we are gearing up for Melbourne Design Week.
Oh, of course.
So from the 14th to the 24th of March, Melbourne will become a true destination in a sense that we are presenting nearly 200 events in and around the city of Melbourne and also Geelong. So I think at the moment the recent tally is about 50 exhibitions. I think we've got 77 talks. We've got close to 20 workshops, and but that entire program goes live on the 12th of February, and listeners can just get onto the Melbourne Design website. Yep. and knock themselves out looking yeah. through
well,
the
Well, we always
calendar.
Do a story on yeah. that each year, so so that's great. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Pleasure.
And thank you for what you're doing and being part of the NGV, because we just love the NGV on the show.
Oh. Thank you. It's been a joy to be here.
Oh, boom, boom.
You're listening to Joy 94.9 on Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.